Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we will begin at the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom. Today's shir is Daf Yud Gimel, and we're going to begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ir Shiesh Be'Avodah Chavim, if there's a city that has in it Avodah Zarah, V'Hoy Ban Chanuyas Mutaris She'en Mutaris, and there are shops in the city both decorated and not decorated. And as will become clear in the Gemara, the shops in the city that are decorated pay a tax to the Avodah Zarah. The shops that are not decorated do not pay a tax. Zeh Yemais of Beis Shan. There was such a situation in Beis Shan. Varm Chachamim and Chazal said, Hamutarois Asurois, the one may not buy in the decorated shops, Vishenim Mutaris, but the other shops, Mutaris Amutar. So as the Rishonim explain, the Mishnah's Halach even applies in a situation where there is no price differential between buying in the store that pays the tax versus the store that doesn't pay the tax. Under all circumstances, one may not buy in those shops. Furthermore, Rashi explains the Mishnah is referring to that it's going on the day of the holiday. And the Mishnah is saying we can't buy in the decorated shops, but we may buy in the non-decorated shops. Which, of course, leads many Rishonim and Rashi actually himself to ask, if our Mishnah is referring to the day of the holiday, so that's a din that we began the Masechta with already, that on the day of the holiday one may not purchase in those shops. So what's the Mishnah starting to make in stores in that city? So what's the Mishnah making a distinction between decorated and non-decorated shops? To which Rashi seems to answer. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, why may we not buy in a shop on their holiday? So the Gemara gave two explanations. One explanation was because Lifnei Evil is Sita Michshol. But if we follow that explanation, then it's only also to buy something that will actually be brought for Avodah Zarah. And the other explanation we gave, that the Gemara gave, was because Harvacha, that they're going to thank their Avodah Zarah. And as the Gemara explained, if so, one certainly can't sell the Akum anything, and one can't buy from the Akum a non-durable item. The reason he can't buy a non-durable item is because that is something that the Akum is looking to sell, and it causes him to thank his Avodah Zarah. But a durable item, there's no problem in buying, because he doesn't want to sell it, really. And if he's selling it, he's only selling it under duress. And that's pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is referring to durable items, that normally one can purchase them. Here, the Mishnah is saying, but if it's a decorated shop, which as we said, and we'll say furthermore, are stores that pay this tax, then you can't even buy durable items. That's the way to understand the Mishnah according to Rashi. Tosfos, because of this question, has a whole different explanation. Tosfos says the Mishnah is not referring to a case where it's a holiday of the Akum. Rather, Tosfos says our Mishnah is referring to the rid of the Akum, a fear of the Akum. And now, the Mishnah is differentiating. Then if it's a shop that pays taxes, you can't buy from there. If it's a shop that doesn't pay taxes, you can buy from there. And now we can understand that the Ritva asks, so if that's shop, why does the Mishnah have to say, Sh'enu Mutaris, why does the Mishnah have to say at the end of the Mishnah that if they're not decorated, you could buy there? Of course you could buy there. So the Ritva gives two terutzim. One terutzim says is that the Mishnah is just showing the distinction. Mutaris are asur. Another way of understanding the Mishnah Ritva says is that the Mishnah is teaching us that we would think that perhaps Chazal would make a gzera that you can't buy in the Einu Mutaris because of the Mutaris. Teaches us the Mishnah that's not the case. Another way of understanding the Mishnah, this way Ramban understands the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is referring to a situation after the holiday. The din that we're learning in our Masechta speaks about before the holiday, on the holiday, but according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, after the holiday, one could purchase there. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though it's after the holiday, but if it's a shop that is decorated, one may not purchase there. Another pshat that I sort of high going suggests is that we spoke already at the beginning of the Masechta that even though we're learning that one should not purchase from the Akum on their holidays, but we learned at the beginning of Masechta, if it's a Dover or Ovid, then you're allowed to. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though there's a special dispensation for a Dover or Ovid, still in a Mutaris that paid his tax, that dispensation doesn't apply. The Meiri has a different way of understanding the Mishnah. The Meiri says that actually this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah that we spoke about in the last year. The last year, yesterday's year, we discussed if there's a city and a suburb right next to each other. And let's say there's a holiday in the city and not in the suburb. So in the suburb, you're allowed to do business with the Akum. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though you're allowed to do business with the Akum in the suburb that doesn't celebrate that holiday, but only in the shops that are not mutaris, that don't pay the tax. If they pay the tax, you're not allowed to do business in there, even in the suburb. Says the Gemara. Lo Amr, to which Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, Lo Shana Mutaris Bevred Vahadas. Amish is referring to a situation where they're decorated with roses and hadasim. There comes ani merecha. So when you walk into the shop, you have hanoah from the fragrance of these flowers. Ab Mutaris Beperis. If they have only Paris hanging, Mutaris. Then you're allowed to go into the shop. My Tama. Domakro Lo Yibak Biyotcha Me'umim Menacherim. The Torah teaches us that you're not allowed to have any benefit from a Avodah Zarah. Says Rish Lakish, a very bechidish. Nenehud Asr. Only having Hanoz Asr. Ava Mahana, giving Hanoz, that means paying the tax, Rish Lakish says a Shari. So the Rishonim discuss that here our Mishnah teaching us that the roses, one may not smell those roses of a Avodah Zarah because it's considered a Hanoz. He doesn't intend to have that Hanoh. So I saw different Tzurutzim in the Rishonim. One Tzurutz of the Rishonim is that it's a Psik Reisha. When you walk into a store where it has pleasant roses, you have smell, fragrance, you're going to have Hanoh automatically. In fact, the Halacha indeed is, the Sherman Tzion Balacha reminds us, as we learned this Gemara, is that if you smell a rose, to have for the smell, you have to make a bracha. Either Bar Atzeh B'Samim, Bar Minib B'Samim, you have to make a bracha. Others say that Amish is going according to the opinion that a Dovah Shen and Miskavin, even if that wasn't your intent, it's Asr. Yet another pshat is that even though normally you have to have intent, but here, as we're learning, it's Avodah Zarah, the status of Avodah Zarah is more stringent, and even without intent, it's Asr. But then the Rishonim ask a different question. We're going to learn later in our Masechta when the Gemara discusses the halachas of Yayin Nesach, that you're not allowed to have Anor from Yayin Nesach. The Gemara says that you are allowed to smell Yayin Nesach. Why? Because smelling is not considered a Hanoh. Yet our Gemara is saying that it is a Hanoh. How do we understand these two Gemaras? So the Rishonim explain, roses, hadasim, are specifically designated to give off a fragrance. So there, smelling them is considered a Hanoh. However, these other items are not designated. Wine isn't made for giving a fragrance, so that's why it has a different halacha. Another test that I saw the Rishonim give, that even though wine may have a pleasant fragrance, that fragrance you may enjoy, but it's actually not good for you. Whereas the fragrance of roses, there's no health issue, and that's why you can't compare the two fragrances. So Rish Lakish is telling us, a very big kula, that you're not allowed to be nena from Avodah Zarah, but you're allowed to benefit Avodah Zarah. So ask the Rishonim, we're going to learn a Gemara later in our Masechta that teaches us the following halacha, and everybody agrees to this halacha. Let's say your home shares a wall with Avodah Zarah, and the wall collapses. So halacha is, you're not allowed to just go rebuild that wall, because you're giving Hanoh to Avodah Zarah by rebuilding the wall. So why over here is Rish Lakish saying that you're allowed to be Mahana Avodah Zarah, pay the tax, where there the Gemara clearly says, and everybody agrees that you're not allowed to be Mahana Avodah Zarah? So one teretz they give is even Rish Lakish, who says that you're allowed to be Mahana Avodah Zarah, it's only a Hanoah Mu'atis, when you're not giving it a significant Hanoah. But if it's a significant Hanoah, that even Rish Lakish will agree is Asur. Another teretz, as becomes clear in our Gemara, that the Hanoah the Rish Lakish is referring, that you're giving to Avodah Zarah, is a hanor derech bezoin. It's done in a very embarrassing way. We'll see it in a moment. That's what Rish Lakish says is mutter. But to do it in a respectful manner, that you're building a new wall for the avodah zara, of course Rish Lakish will agree is asur. Gershon disagrees. He says a fil mutaris peperis nami asur. That even if it's has peris, and the issue here is that you're being mehanad avodah zara by paying the tax, it's asur. Because Rish Lakish makes the following kavachoyma. If nena, if you're not allowed to benefit from avodah zara's asur, mahana lekoshka, and certainly not be mahana avodah zara. Although the Rishonim point out that even Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that mahana is asur, only refers to a situation where it's clear that you're being mahana avodah zara. Going back to the example that we began today's shiur with, that you walk into the shop and they charge you, let's say, $2 for an item. And they tell you $1 is going to be for the item that you're purchasing, and one is for the avodah zara. So it's clearly identifiable what's for the avodah zara. If it's not clearly identifiable what's for the avodah zara, even Rabbi Yochanan will hold that mahana is mutter. Furthermore, there's a machloikus rishonim. When Rabbi Yochanan now is telling us the mahana is osur, does he mean it's an osur isim adaraisa, or it's only osur midrabon? But then I saw gevaldig akasha. The Mepharshim ask, what's Rabbi Yochanan's kal v'chomer? If you're not allowed to have hanor, you're certainly not allowed to give hanor. Ask the Mepharshim, we find throughout halacha that there are many items that are also b'hanor. Yet we never find such a rule that if something's also b'hanor, you're not allowed to give it hanor. So why here are we making such a kal v'chomer? So they say a very fundamental explanation. When we have this item that's also b'hanor, the Torah says you're not allowed to derive any benefit from it. For whatever reason the Torah said. Here it's not that the Torah is telling us we don't want you to derive any benefit from it. The Torah said, as we just quoted the pasuk, lo yidbak b'yotchem u'umim en acherim. The Torah wants to separate us from avodah zara. Having hanor from avodah zara is not being separated from it. And just like having hanor from avodah zara is not considered being separated from avodah zara, certainly, says Rabbi Yochanan, being Bahana, giving something to Avodah Zarah, is certainly connecting yourself to Avodah Zarah, the opposite of what the Torah wants, and that's why, if Nen is Osir, here you can have a legitimate Kavachayma, that Mahana is certainly Osir. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the following Braisa. On the day that the days that Avodah Zarah give out a tax exemption, and they make the following announcement. Machrizim v'oimim. Kol mi shenoit la Torah. Whoever will wear the wreath around his, v'nir b'rosh around his neck, or b'rosh chamaroi, or put it around his animal, l'kvoid avodah zarah, in honor of the avodah zarah, yenich lo yisamechas, will get a tax exemption. V'mlav, if he refuses to wear the wreath, al yenich lo yisamechas, he won't get the exemption. Says the Braisa, Yehudi shenimtza sham mayasa. The Jew that finds himself there, what should he do? Yeniach, if he puts on the wreath, nimtzenena, he's going to benefit because he gets the tax exemption. So there's a machlokes rishonim, what is the hanor? Rashi explains that the hanor is that he gets the wreath around his neck, and as we started to shear, he has that pleasant fragrance of the flowers. Duran says no. The hanor is that he doesn't have to pay the tax. Why doesn't Rashi agree with Duran? Because Rashi's explanation of a hanor is always that you tell something positive. Saving yourself is not considered a hanor. But then I saw, in the back by the Rand, is the Chedusha and Shishem, who reconciles that there's a way of reconciling the machloikus of Rashi and the Rand. He explains there are two types of taxes. There are taxes that are the head tax. You have to pay the tax. And then there's another tax like a sales tax. That if you buy an item, you're going to have to pay tax. The Ran is referring to a head tax. So everybody has to pay taxes. So that's why the Ran says, if you put on the wreath and you save yourself that tax, that's considered a real hanor, because otherwise you would have to pay it. Rashi is not referring to that type of tax. Rashi is talking about a sales tax. You don't have to pay sales tax. If you don't buy, you don't have to pay sales tax. That's why Rashi says the hanor is the positive hanor of smelling the flowers. Lo yinich, if he doesn't put on the wreath, and therefore he will he will have to pay the tax. Nimtza mehana. So here clearly we see that mehana is asur. Yet we said that mehana, according to Rish Lakish, is mutter. We'll get back to it in a moment. Bikan amru, based on this brisa, summarizes the brisa, Chazal Torus, hanois v'nois m'shuk shal avodis kachavim, if somebody does business in the marketplace of the avodis kachavim, behemer, if he bought an animal to yoker, we're going to speak about this quite extensively soon, peiris ksus v'kelim, if he bought fruits or garments or utensils, yirkavu, he has to leave them to rot. And the Rishonim explained the reason you have to leave it to rot is because if you burn it, you may have hanor from the fire, or you may have hanor from the ash. That's why you leave it to rot. You could just leave them around till they rot. Mos, the klimatchis, money or metalware, yalichem yalam melech, should be taken to Yam HaMelech. Tosfos on Amabei says, if you take it to Yam HaMelech, you don't have to grind them up first. But if you take them to other oceans, first they have to be ground up. Now we go back to what we discussed, the Ezi Ikur. What is considered Ikur? Hamnasher parsasah minakuv lamata. To cut off, as we discussed before, to cut off the bottom of the leg of the animal. Why only the bottom of the leg of the animal? Rashi says, because there's an Isser to make an animal treifa, and therefore, if you only cut off the bottom of the animal, you haven't made it a treifa, and that's what you should do. Whereas if you cut a higher part, it's going to make a treifa, which is Osir. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says there is no Isser making a regular animal treif, and that's why Tosfos explains what it means here is that it should be what there's no reason to have to do something more significant, a bigger operation. This is good enough. That's what the Gemara means. Coming back to our question, Ketanimius, what does this brisa say? Yeniach, if you put on the wreath, nimtzenena, you're going to be benefiting from the zara. If I avoid the zara, lo yeniach, if you don't put it on, nimtzemahana. So clearly, this brisa is teaching us, like Rabbi Yochanan, that mahana is usur. So how does Rish Lakish explain? Answers the Gemara, Ara Mishan Shebreid Rav Idi, Ksav Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is of the opinion, Pliga Arbonin Leid Rav Nosson. It's Rav Nosson's opinion that you're not allowed to be Mahana Avoy the Zorah. Vanoan, Irish Lakish, Paskin Krabonon, Vanoan, the Amri Krabonon, the Pligele, that disagree with Rav Nosson. Ask the Gemara, so obviously, Rav Yochanan, who holds that Mahana is Osir, is of the opinion that not only does Rav Nosson hold that Mahana Avoy the Zorah is Osir, but even the Rabbanon hold that Mahana Avoy the Zor is Osir. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold the Loi Pligi, that the Rabbanon hold that Mahana is Osir? The Loi Pligi, do they not argue? Vatanya. Says another Braisa. Holchen li rich loi de kachavim, will later go to the fear of the Akum. The Loi Kman Behema, we could buy from them animals, Avodim, Vishvachas, Bartus, Vesodus, Vekru, Vikrabim. The Rashba says, specifically these items, nothing else. And why specifically these items? We'll learn on Amud Beis. The Kaisav Umala Bakoshalhem. Then whatever transaction you did could be recorded in their courts. As the Rishonim explained, even though by going to their courts to have the transaction recorded, we're giving covet, we're giving them a lot of honor. If it won't be properly recorded, if there'll be a claim against you, you won't be able to win. V'mar Yukayin. Furthermore, even if he's a Kayin, Metam B'chutzlaretz. We learned that Chazal made Gzeira that Chutzlaretz is Tamei, and we know that a Kayin is not allowed to become Tamei. Teaches us this Braisa, that a Kayin who needs to have this deal recorded can go to Chutzlaretz, Lodun Ularamam, to be able to get what's rightfully his. Furthermore, says the Braisa, certainly this din will be for Yisrael, the Chiddush is that he, Koyin. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Ukshem Shmetam B'chutzlarts, just like the Koyin may go to Chutzlarts, Kach Metam Beis HaKfaris. He's allowed to go to a Beis HaKfaris for this, to be able to get what rightfully his. Ask the Gemara, the Beis HaKfaris Sal Kedaitach, couldn't there be a Havamina that a Koyin is allowed to go to a cemetery? A cemetery, Tumid Araisi, and a Koyin certainly is not allowed to become Tumid Araisi. answers the Gemara, what the Braisa means is Beis HaPras Darabonim. A Beis HaPras is a place where there was a grave, which got plowed up, that Chazal said that such a place should be considered like a cemetery, that a Kohen may not enter that place. The halacha is that here, the Rabbanan relaxed that gzeira, that the 100 amah around where the grave was, a Kohen may not go. Here, Chazal relaxed that rule. Why did Chazal relax that rule? In order that the Kohen should be able to prevail. Interesting, Shaila I saw, is our Gemara is teaching us that even though under certain circumstances, Chazal relaxed the halachas of Tumah for a Kohen, that's only by Tumah Darabonim, not by Tumah Daraisa. So what would be the halacha if a Kohen is sleeping in a house and he's not wearing any clothing? And in the middle of the night, Rachman al Tzlan, somebody passes away in that house. So the Kohen now is a Shalav Tumah Daraisa. So should you notify the Kohen and he'll end up having to go out of the house without any clothing? Some Paiskim say, yes, it's Tumah Daraisa, and our Gemara just taught us that for Tumah Daraisa, there is no dispensation. Pesach Tshuva quotes Paiskim that say that the Kohen could put on a minimal amount of clothing, he doesn't have to go outdoors without wearing any clothing. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Umetam Limitar Elisa Isha. A Kohen, or certainly even a Yisrael, can leave Eretz Yisrael in order to learn Torah, or in order to get married. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Amos, when can he leave Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah? Bizman Shein Amoitz Elul Moed, where he can't find a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. Ava Man Shein Amoitz Elul Moed, if he can find a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Einam Atam, he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. I feel Bizman Shein Amoitz Elul Moed, even if he could find a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Yitma. He could go to Chutz La'aretz if that's where he wants to learn. Lefisha Ein Adam Zoich Elul Mikol. You can't, not everybody is, can learn by everybody. You have to find the right Rebbe. I'm Rabbi Yossi, and in fact says Rabbi Yossi, Ma'isi b'Yosef HaKoyin, there was a story with Yosef HaKoyin, Shaholach Acher Rabbi L'Tzidoin, that left that Yisrael to go to Tzidoin, Lilma Torah. Number of points to make. Here the Gemara says, first of all, the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. When it comes to learning, we have a Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, if you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Yeshiva. There's no machlokes when it comes to getting married. Everybody agrees that ein adam, that you don't get married only to misha liba chafetz. And if the girl you want to marry is in chutz laretz, everybody agrees you can't say to the person, well, find the girl in Eretz Yisrael. Where we do find the machlokes is that Taisa says that you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to get married, but you have to come back to live. Only for the marriage, only for the chasna you're allowed to leave. Other rishonim disagree with Taisa and say, if that's the woman you want to marry, lives in Chutz La'aretz, and she insists on remaining in Chutz La'aretz, you could remain in Chutz La'aretz. Furthermore, it says here that the Lilma Torah, you're allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. Why? So the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara says, that's where you want to learn. So the Sefer Panim Yafis explains, now we could understand why Meira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi is such a serious Aveira. That we know that Nadav and Avihu died because they were Meira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi. Because our Gemara is teaching us, says the Panim Yafis, how crucial a Rebbe is to one's success in learning. Normally you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Here we're saying you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because you need your Rebbe. And that's where your Rebbe is in Chutz La'aretz. Go to Chutz La'aretz. So we see how important the Rebbe is. And therefore somebody who's Meira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi cannot, is Chayiv Misa. Furthermore, I saw from the Bnei Yisachar. He says, what Al Gemara is also supposed to teach us, he says, is a tremendous lesson. He says, Al Gemara, as we just said, is teaching us the importance of a Rebbe and how a Talmud needs a Rebbe to succeed in learning. Says the Bnei Yisachar, just like you need your Rebbe to succeed in learning, your friend needs his Rebbe to succeed in learning. So no one has a right to disparage someone else's Rebbe. Because just like you should understand how important a Rebbe is to you, you should understand how important the Rebbe is to your colleague. Tosfos quotes an interesting machlokes. Our Gemara is teaching us that in order to get married, or in order to learn Torah, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. How do we understand the Gemara? So Tosfos says, specifically these two mitzvahs, such important mitzvahs, getting married, learning Torah, for that you're allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. For other reasons, you're not allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. But then Tosfos quotes a shiltister of Achigoyim that says just the opposite. If for these two mitzvahs you're allowed to go to Chutz Laretz, certainly for all other mitzvahs you're allowed to go to Chutz Laretz. How do we understand the shiltus? So sort of Mefarshim say a beautiful explanation in the shiltus. They say that all other mitzvahs, the mitzvah is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of learning Torah is only a method of accomplishing a mitzvah. I need to know the Torah, I need to be Mekayim mitzvahs, so I have to know what to do, so I'm learning Torah. Getting married is only because I have to have children, so I can't get children without a wife. So these mitzvahs, which are really only a stepping stone towards a goal, you're allowed to go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, certainly mitzvahs, according to the Shultis, that are mamisha mitzvah, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz, according to the Shultis. Interesting shaila that the Poskim discuss. If let's say somebody either lives in Eretz Yisrael and wants to go to Chutz Laretz because his parents tell him to go to Chutz Laretz, or vice versa. Somebody's in Chutz Laretz and he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael but his parents don't want him to. What is the din? So the Poskim say as follows. Somebody's in Chutz Laretz and wants to go to live in Israel and his parents don't want him, he has to listen to his parents. What's the raya? Because we find in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Mi'Artzecha, that you are giving special permission, that even though your father Terach is a Chutz Laretz, you should leave. Seems everybody else, under those circumstances, would not be allowed to leave. Whereas somebody is already in Eretz Yisrael, and he's being Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to listen to his father to leave Eretz Yisrael. One more interesting Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that we all remember that when Yaakov Avinu was leaving the yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver, he first went away from his parents' house, went away from Esav, to go to the home of Lavan to marry his wife. So it says in Pasuk, Yishka b'makmahu. And Rashi says, this place he slept, v'loylon yudal shonim, the 14 years that he was with Beis Shem Ve'Aver, he didn't sleep. So the Chassam Sofer says, what's Rashi teaching us, the 14 years he didn't sleep in Beis Shem Ve'Aver? Says the Chassam Sofer. Yaakov Avinu had a real problem here. It was Al Gemara. On one hand, he's allowed to go to Chutz Laretz because that's where his wife is. On the other hand, he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because that's where the yeshiva is. Shem Ve'Aver was in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you do when you have this problem? So he says that Rashi's trying to answer that issue. And Rashi, he says, some Sofer says, interesting pshat. We learned at the beginning of Amasech, the says of some Sofer, that a person really doesn't begin to understand his Rebbe until he's 40. You need 40 years to understand your Rebbe. Says the Chassam Sofer. Yaakov Avinu, why 40 years? He says, because most people spend the day 8 hours learning, halavai, 8 hours working, and 8 hours doing whatever else they need to do. Yaakov Avinu spent 24 hours a day learning. So what everybody else takes 40 years, he was able to do in a third of the time, which is about 14 years. So that's what Pshat is. Yaakov Avinu didn't sleep for 14 years. So he accomplished his 40 years of learning. So that's why he's allowed to leave Chutz Laretz to go to, allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz to get married. Someone else who didn't finish his learning may not leave Eretz Yisrael if that's where his Rebbe is, even to get married. Continues the Gemara. Back to Masechta Avodah Zarah. Vam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Halach Rabbi Yossi. That Halach is like Rabbi Yossi. Alma. So it's obvious that the Rabbanan Pligi and Rabbanan are of the opinion that you are allowed to be Mahana Avodah Zarah. Amlach Rav Yochanan, Lailam Lai Pligi, there is no Machlaikus. V'loi Kasha. Can Lai Kech Min HaTagar, if you purchase from a shop, the Shokli Michsminei, that you have to pay the tax, because the shops had to pay tax instead of Avodah Zarah, that you may not do, because you're not to be Mahana Avodah Zarah. Kam V'loi Kech Min Balabais, wherever if you buy from a Balabais, V'loi Shokli Michsminei, that they don't pay tax, their Allah is, their halacha is that you could buy and there's no issue of being Mahana Avodah Zarah. Of course, Mefarshim explained that we're not referring to a case where you're buying for Baal Bayis that he's cheating and not paying taxes. The rule of the land was that only stores had to pay taxes, not the basement stores. Olamar, Behemah Ta'akar. So he said if you buy an animal from the Akum where you weren't supposed to, the animal should be Ta'akar. Ask the Gemara V'Ikat Tzar Baal Chayim. Isn't there an issue of Tzar Baal Chayim by doing so? And like Tosfos points out, the Gemara's question is both according to the opinion that Tzar Baal Chayim is the Raisa or the Rabbanan. Amar Abaye, Amar Rachmana, Esusem Tiakar. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua in prevailing over his enemies that he's allowed to destroy his animals, to uproot, to cut the animals' feet. As Taisus, especially according to the Mandama that holds, that Tzab Al Chaim is the Raisa, so yes, there Yeshua was given a special dispensation that he could do that to the horses. But how do we know that you're always allowed to do it? Answers Taisus, that Chazal learned from that episode, that just like Yeshua was told, that normally there's an Issa Tzab Al Chaim, but when there's a reason that issue is waived, here too, normally Avada, there's an Issa of Tzab Al Chaim. But if somebody had a north of Avodah Zarah, it's the same Tiakra. Amamar, and as we explained earlier, Ve'ezu Ikur, what is considered Ikur? Menashe persesah menakuv lamata. You cut off the bottom part of the foot. Ask the Gemara of Rimini. The Braisa says, a Magdishin, one may not be Magdish, Ve'machrimim, nor may he make a Cherim. And as Tosfos points out, there are two types of Cherim. One is a Cherim of Bedek Abayis, that it goes to Hegdish, and one is a cherim of Kahanim. And Taisha says that our Mishnah is going, this Gemara is going according to the Mand Omer, that cherim means Bedek Abayis. Ve'ein machrichin, if somebody gives an erech, as the parashah describes in parashas, parchu kaisai, bezman hazeh. Why may you not do it bezman hazeh? Because since we don't have a base of Magdish nowadays, so now if you Magdish something, what are you going to do with it? You can't give it to the base of Magdish. You have to leave it at home, and you can come to Takala, you may come to accidentally use it. The Migdish v'hechrim v'herich, behemoth te'akar, animal te'akar, behares k'sus v'kelim, yirkavu, v'kli matchis, yilichim u'yam ha'melech. So the Rishonim discuss, why is the halacha that this should be done with the item that you were Magdish? Why shouldn't you just be paid it? So the Rishonim explain. There's a din. Midai Raisa, pigeon, to do a redemption on an item that's Hegdish, with the Raisa on a Shava Pruta. You can have an item that's worth who knows how much. If you do a pigeon on a Shava Pruta, it's good enough. However, Chazal said, of course, you shouldn't do that. According to the opinions, that since nowadays we don't have a base of Hegdish anyway, so we can do a pigeon on Shava Pruta, the Gemara here is not the only approach. You can do a pigeon on Shava Pruta and put away that penny. Our Gemara, however, is going according to the opinion, say the Rishonim, that you have to do a pinyon for the true value of the item. Not only do you have to do a pinyon on the true value of the item, you have to add a chaymish if you're an owner of the item. So now you're going to have to do a real pinyon, and you're going to have a nice amount of money. What are you going to do with that money? That's why the Mishnah says, Yilichem liyam ha-melech. Furthermore, a very important question. We're not allowed to be Magdish nowadays. We shouldn't be Magdish, the Gemara says, because we don't have a base of Magdish. What is the halacha if somebody misspoke? And instead of, he wants to give money to tzedakah, he wants to give money to an institution, and instead of saying that, he said, I'm being Magdish this money. What is the din? So I saw a very big machlokes paiskim. Some paiskim suggest that the statement is considered totally meaningless, because there is no Hegdish nowadays. It's considered a neder b'tos. Other Rishonim are of the opinion that no, it's a real nether. Because you said a real nether. And that the halach, what should be done? The right thing to be done, l'chatchila, is to be shoyl in the nether. As we learned himself in the Dorim, you should have that nether annulled. You should say, I made a mistake. I used the word hegdish. There is no hegdish nowadays. It only causes problems. Taisus asks that the Gemara mentions in a number of places, most notably, Masechet Bechairis, that if somebody has a Bechar born in his flock, he should wait till the Bechar becomes a Balmum, and then give it to the Kayim. Ask Taisvis, why? Our Mishnah says, the Agama is teaching us that you have a real concern of Takolo. So Taisvis gives two Terutzim. Agama is referring to a situation that you went and you were Magdish something nowadays when you don't have a base of Migdash. You shouldn't have done that. You're only asking for trouble. You weren't Magdish the Bechor. The Bechor was born. It's a whole different situation. Another teretz that Taisus gives is that the Bechor, when it becomes a Balmum, you have what to do with it. Then you can give it to the Kayin. Whereas these items that you were Magdish, until the base of Magdish is rebuilt, you have nothing to do with. That's why you can't compare the situations. Another teretz, a similar teretz, a variation of this teretz, is if you take the Bechor and you leave it, till it becomes bamum, and you give it to the kohen, so the kohen will get what rightfully belongs to him. If you're going to go destroy that animal, you're going to be cheating the kohen. You have no right to cheat and steal from the kohen because you have a possible takala, and therefore you can't compare the two situations. But continues that price, so this is what's relevant to our shir. There is the ikur. What is considered ikur? Noel dealt with now. If you have this animal that you will magdish, put it into a room and close the door, we may smell it. We said ikur means to cut off the bottom of the foot. Amra bayu shani hasan mishu bezoin kachin. Then there's a whole different issue of bezoin kachin. Ask the Gemara, and that's why we can't cut it. Ask the Gemara, v'nishch mishkatei, why don't we shecht it? Answers the Gemara, asa baladei takala. If you're going to shecht it, you may come to eat it. Ask Tosfos, why don't we say you're not allowed to shecht it? Because it's shchutei chutz. We know the animal that's kachim, you're not allowed to shecht outside of the base of Mikdash. Obviously, we're outside the base of Mikdash. So Rashi answers that we're referring to kachim by the kabayis. The din of shchutei chutz is only on items that are kedushas aguf. Tosfos says, Tosfos disputes that. He says, we're talking about even something that's kedushas aguf. But even something that's kedushas aguf that can never be brought to the base of Mikdash. Why? Because we unfortunately don't have a base of Mikdash. There is no din of shchutei chutz. Ask the Rav Lishvi Gistra, why don't we just go chop it in two so there won't be a concern that you eat it because it becomes a nevela. Answers the Gemara, Amar Bay Amar Kra. The Netatznus Mizbechaisam, we should break the Mizbech of the Zorah. But then the Pasuk says, Lesasuk and Lashem Lakechem. Anything that's Kachim, we can't abuse that way. Rav says a different reason. And the Rishonim explained that Rav is actually answering two questions. One is the question, why not Lishvi Gistra? And why not make Shechita? Why not cut it from the bottom of the foot? It looks like if you do that, you're putting a mum in kachim. Ask the Gemara, nira? Why is Rava using the word it looks like? Mum ayahi. If you chop it in two, or you cut off the bottom of the foot, you're not looking like it doesn't look like you're making a mum. You're actually making a mum. Answer the Gemara, the reason Rava used such a terminology, because when is there an issa to make a mum? Only when the base of Mitzvah is standing, the chazi like Rava, it could be brought, or the Mizbeach. Now that we don't have a base of Middash, Leslon Bodhi is no Isser of making a mum. That's why Rava used the words Nira, but not making a mum. Ask the Gemara, but why is this any worse? Ask the Gemara, the Lava Kamata Mumba Bamum, where the Gemara Masech the Bukharis teaches us that at least according to certain opinions, even if an animal that's kachim is about mum, you may not make a mum to it. So even though, yes, you can't bring this carbon, it's still also atzmat mum b'bam mum. That the halachi, the afkat, the wachaz l'krova, even though that an animal which is about mum that can't be brought in the mizbeach, asr, you can't make a mum in it, answers the Gemara. You can't compare the situations. Because b'am mum, neder l'chaz l'gufei. If your animal that's about mum, yes, that animal cannot be brought in the mizbeach. However, you could always redeem that animal and use the proceeds to ledami chazi. You could take the proceeds and buy an animal that will be brought on the mizbeach. Lefuka hacha. However, here, where we unfortunately don't have a base of Middash, the lo ledami chazi, the lo lekufei chazi, and therefore there's no isser of making a mum. And that's why Rava used the words nira, not actually making a mum. Says the Gemara, Ashkechei Rav Yonah Rav Eloi. Rav Yonah met Rav Eloi, the Kaya Piskel Tzor, he was standing by the door of the city of Tzor. Amalei, Ketani Behemet Ha'akar. We learned that if somebody brought an animal from Avodah Zarah, we have to wound it. Eved Mai. What's the halacha if somebody buys an Eved? He asked. So he continued to say, Eved Yisrael, if somebody brought an Eved who's a Jew, like Kami Baile, certainly you're not allowed to harm a Jew. Ki Kami Baile, Eved Eved Kechavim. If somebody bought at a Yerid of Avodah Zarah, an Eved that's a guy, what's the halacha? Amalei, my kamei baylach. What's your question? Doesn't the Braisa say, Tanya, ha'ovik achama rei behem dahaka? If somebody has a guy, or rei behem dahaka, are people who are Jewish, but are people who are the shepherds of these animals,
and don't respect other people's property, and therefore let the animals graze in other people's property, the lechus le'malim, we may not, we don't have to save them when they're in danger, but let them read them. We're not allowed to harm them. So how could you have a question that if somebody buys an Eved Kanani, he should wound him? So he said, read it on Amad Beis. So certainly you're not allowed to wound them. Continues the Gemara. We learned the number Aleph, Lechmehen. The Rimba that you're not allowed to purchase from the Akum at their fairs. Lechmehen, we may buy Behema Avadim Vishvachas. Ask the Gemara. When it says that we're allowed to buy Avadim, does it mean Eved Yisrael, a Jew? Or do I feel Eved Eved Kachavim, a Goy? Amelay, so he responded, Mestabe Eved Yisrael. It must be that you're allowed to buy a Jew. The Eved Eved Kachavim, if it refers to a Goy, Lamai Mibarley, what exactly would you, what mitzvah is there involved in buying a Goy? However, says the Gemara, he also Rav and Amr Shim Belokish, I feel Eved Eved Kachavim, even if the Eved is a Goy, you could buy it from them. Why? We know the halacha is that Eved Kanani is mechuyev b'mitzvahs kenoshim, and therefore by buying an Eved Kanani, you're accomplishing something. He's going to do mitzvahs. He's going to be a Jew. Arav Ashi, Arta Behema, that we could understand by an Eved, because you're making the Eved that's going to do mitzvahs. Behema, however, my machnas tachas kaf ishkenika, where's their concept that you take an animal, the animal doesn't become a Jewish animal. El Mishmer Tayyib. The answer is because we want to deplete the Akum of their assets. Hachinami, the Mamati, that he says the same reason why you're allowed to take, buy an Eved from them, because we want to deplete them of their assets, and that's why Shari, you're allowed to buy an Eved. Explain to Rishonim, why doesn't Rish Lakish agree with this reason? Rish Lakish says as follows. He says, when you buy an animal, you're accomplishing. The animal becomes yours, and you depleted the Akum of that asset. When you buy, however, says Seder Rishonim and Eved, yes, you depleted the Akum, but you didn't do yourself such a great favor, because Avadim aren't the best assets to own. First of all, you have to constantly feed them. Their behavior isn't that great. So that's why Rish Lakish couldn't subscribe to the concept Od Matinu. That's why you're allowed to buy Avadim. So he said a different Svara, Shemachnisa Itachas Kamfishkina. Says the Gemara, Rav Yaakov Zandl Sandler, Rav Yaakov would buy sandal from the Akum, Rav Yirmiyah Zavim Pleita. He would buy bread. So Taisus says, how can you buy bread from the Akum? It's past Palter. So Taisus answers, two terutzim. One terutz says, as we know, we're going to discuss this later, the Gzeir past Palter wasn't necessarily accepted. And that's why, even though Bishal Akum is Osir, past Akum is not necessarily Osir. One terutz. Another terutz Taisus gives, that even though a Jew shouldn't eat past Akum, but let's say a Jew has non-Jewish employees, he's allowed to serve them past Akum. And that's why he bought the past Akum. But then Taisus asks another question. This goes back to something that we discussed at the beginning of the shiur. We discussed at the beginning of the shiur that when you buy from an Akum a non-durable item, it's always Osir. Why? Because it's Simcha, because he has to get rid of it. There's nothing more non-durable than bread. It gets stale. So how could you ever buy bread from them? Isn't that a non-durable item? So Taisus says that yes, bread is certainly a non-durable item. But because bread is such an important food, the most staple food item, says Taisus, it doesn't fall into the category of a non-durable item. You'll always find a customer for bread. So that's why that issue doesn't exist here. Amalei chad l'chavri, so one said to the other one, Yasma, Ovid Rabbi Chachi, is that what your Rebbe did? Amalei idach, Yasmach, Ovid Rabbi Chachi, is this what your Rebbe did? And as Rishonim explained, each one of them were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, and they thought that the other one was violating Rabbi Yochanan's psak. However, says the Gemara, v'tavayu b'baal bayis zoven. Really, what happened here was both had bought these items from b'baal bayis. And as we learned earlier in the shiur, even though Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that you're not allowed to buy from a store that pay taxes to avodah zarah, from b'baal bayis that doesn't pay taxes, you may buy. Furthermore, v'kol chad v'chad sover, each one of the thought,
that even though he bought from a balabayas, which we just explained is mutter, that his friend, mitagazovin, bought it from a store, which you're not allowed to buy according to Rabbi Yochanan from, because you're paying taxes to the goy. Domer of Avabred of Chibar Abba, loishanu, when, according to Rabbi Yochanan, may we not buy from a store, may we not buy from an akum, when you buy from a store, the shakli mixminei, who pays tax to the avodah zarah. If you buy from Balbais, the loy shakli mitzmine that doesn't pay tax, mutter. However, says the Gemara, Omer Abba Bereid Reb Chibar Abba, if Malay Hayy Reb Yochanan Hazimna Ba'asra, the Koshakli mixed from a Balbais, in our locale, he says, not only did they take tax from the established shops, but they even took tax from Balbatim, have a Osir. You would not be allowed to buy even from Balbayis. So if so, Ela Inu Hechazovin, Mi Balbayis, if Rabbi Yochanan would not allow you to buy from Balbayis because they also pay taxes. So how did they do so? Answers the Gemara, the Balbayis they bought from was She'en Kavuzovin. If it's a Balbayis and he's not Kavua, they certainly don't have to pay tax. And that's the only case that Rabbi Yochanan would allow someone to buy from an Akum and not be concerned that he's being Mahana Avodah Zarah.